Repeat podcast. We are the Dream Read Repeat Project. It's a collective of book lovers. We came together from the Witchlanders, which is the street team for Susan Dennard, as we were performing heists to promote Blood Witch. We saw this kind of consistent yearning in the Discord group of people who said that they wanted to do more of the activities like the heist, whether that was Instagram posts or writing reviews or sharing information with people or talking about books with the people that we were meeting on the Discord. But also consistently, there was this comment of saying, oh, I just couldn't be able to put out the content on a regular basis, or I would never be able to gain followers, or conversations about every time I gain 30 followers, I lose 15. And a lot of it came down to consistency of posting. We started off as 15, I think we're 13 now, 13 people creating content on our own schedule, publishing them as part of one project, so that at no point in time do we feel pressured to continue to post consistent content on our own, because the group will be posting consistent content together. So this means that we have a social media team of people that are interested in Instagram or Twitter or Goodreads. We have a Facebook. We also have those of us that are interested in writing book reviews, which will be published on our website and as part of our Goodreads. And then we have a small group of people that want to talk about books. And that brings us to our podcast group. And we hope to have these podcasts up everywhere where you can find podcasts. Spotify and iTunes to start, and other platforms later. And as a project, we can be reached at dreamreadrepeat@gmail.com and dreamreadrepeat.wordpress.com.
Okay, well, I'm Natasha. I'm a middle school librarian in Pennsylvania. I have a Twitter and Instagram that can be followed. My Twitter and Instagram are the same handle, TheLouView. And that can be found and linked up to on our Dream Read Repeat website. So if you want to follow me, you can do that. I am an inconsistent poster. I will go like days, sometimes a week or two without posting anything. And then all of a sudden, I either have a backlog of stuff or I just all of a sudden find cool stuff and I will post lots of things and bother people with it. So I'm also not always a book Instagrammer necessarily, because I also really enjoy food. So you will get lots of random pictures of my food on paper plates because I hate doing the dishes. And that's me. So I like talking books, obviously, because I'm a librarian. And I'm also, you know, a foodie that likes food. So that's me.
So I'm Leslie, and I'm a high school English teacher in California. I have a Twitter account that you can follow me at, Leslie_Arambula, and an Instagram account, AuthorLArambula. And I post mainly about books and writing prompts and discussions for writers. And I've been focused a lot on indie writers recently.
So I am Kim, most commonly known on the internet.
Sounds good.
So I am Kim, most commonly known on the internet as In Opinion. I was a big reader in middle school and high school, and then in college I kind of fell out of reading and then didn't really find a lot of time in my life for reading until about a year and a half ago, so about maybe 20 months now. I started getting back into it, and largely because of audiobooks. I listen to them every day on my commute, and I'm a part of several book clubs. Some are more active than others, and I am part of a traveling book club where we are taking a book, writing in the margins, and shipping it to the next person on the list. And so that traveling book club has not reached me yet, but it should be here soon. So I'm excited about that. Let's talk about a book that surprised you in the last month or a couple months. A book that you picked up and either you didn't like it as much as you thought you would, or it's a lot better than you thought it would, or you didn't know what it was when you're walking into it. The book that surprised you.
Okay, well, so this is tough because I've had a really good reading year so far, and it's only February when we're recording this, and a lot of the books that I picked up have surprised me because I literally have just been like, what's available on Overdrive, or what is popping up on my Scribd app that's available to listen to, and that's pretty much how I'm picking my reads right now.
Oh, that's how I do most of my audiobooks.
Yeah, I was thinking of you every time I had to find a book. I was like, okay, what would Kim do?
just spin the wheel.
Yeah.
Download that book.
Yeah, so I started with the first random one was Gent's Guide, Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue. And it's something that was like, oh, that would be nice to read soon. And when we were talking in the Witchlanders, a bunch of us, you know, were saying our different reading goals for the year. And I had said that I wanted to read more more books with more diversity, whether it be like people of color or writers of color, or whether it be more like LGBT rep. So that was an LGBT rep book, and the heck out of it, which was surprising to me because I didn't really know what it was about other than a bunch of boys traipsing through Europe, and that was all I kind of expected, and it went a lot deeper than I anticipated. But then after that, I read Sawkill Girls, which I had no idea was LGBT, like, rep in it at all. I met Claire Legrand, and I thought she was fantastic, and I was like, you know what, your book sounds cool because you're a cool person, so I'm going to read your book. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, I haven't disliked anything I've read this year so far, so I could talk about almost every book, but I would say that those two surprised me the most that I've read so far.
So Gent's Guide is obviously two boys. Like, that's kind of well known, right?
I guess probably
men loving men, should we say?
Yeah.
What's Sawkill Girls? What's its rep?
Oh, so Sawkill Girls is by rep. Lesbian rep. I don't know that they explicitly identify them as bi or lesbian only.
But then also women loving women.
It's women. Yeah, I have to get better at this terminology. It's like two women, but then there's also another girl who is on the ace spectrum.
Mm.
So, it's got like all kinds of rep happening, honestly.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of a horror book, which I didn't expect. Like, I thought it was just a thriller mystery novel, which is one of my favorite genres. And it's like a very up and coming genre in YA. So I try to read, you know, whatever I can in that. So when I was reading it and discovered it was more along the lines of like, okay, there's like mysticism kind of involved and those like darker horror aspects, you know, creepy, haunty things. I was like, oh, cool. Okay. And so it was good.
Nice. Yeah.
What about you, Leslie?
I've been focusing, like I said, on indie authors, and I recently started following an author on Instagram whose name is Sydney Mann, and so I picked up her debut novel, The Dark Wood, a little while ago, and I, like, absolutely loved it. It was very refreshing as a YA fantasy because I feel like I've been reading a lot of the mainstream YA fantasy lately, like, you know, Kingdom of Ash even, and they're so far into the series that it was nice to see something new and fresh again. So it really surprised me, and just the style that she has and the world that she builds just surpassed all the expectations that I had. So I really liked it, and it was kind of a twist on a lot of things, like a twist on, you know, the love triangle, and I don't want to spoil, like, some of the stuff that happens, but it was, you know, half of the world is just eternal night, and the other half is eternal day, but the people who live in the eternal night section, like, they aren't even aware that the rest of the world even exists, or that it's different, and so there's a lot of stuff that goes on in there. It was really good. It was really well done, too, so.
I honestly think if you liked that, I think you'd really like Sawkill Girls.
I want to say that sounds familiar. So it may be on my actual list. I just don't remember. Who is it by again?
That one's by Claire Legrand.
Okay.
And yeah, I just added the Dark Wood. I just added that to my TBR as you were talking. But yeah, it has the same, like, not like the same exact idea, and it's not fantasy. But it definitely has that, like, quality of you go to an island and all of a sudden all this like otherworldly stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're unaware of it until you're on the island, but then when you're there, you're getting all these different perspectives, and like some chapters are told from the perspective of the island itself, which was cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, and like I don't want to like spoil anything either, but her writing style was really cool. The way that she would get descriptive about, you know, like it would be like an action-y type sequence where you'd be really caught up in it, but then she would also have these spots where something was happening and she was like elongating a moment in time, and it took a while to describe, but you also like felt, you could feel that there was a purpose to like zoning in mm-hmm. on that moment, and it really gave you like a really good perspective on why it was kind of important to the story and to like the characters in that moment. So I think it, like, I haven't read, you know, The Dark Wood yet, but I think it sounds like you might enjoy Sawkill Girls if you would.
Yeah, I pulled it up on Goodreads, and literally Sawkill Girls, like the first line of the synopsis is "Beware of the woods and the dark, dank, deep." So I'm like, there's already crossover. I will probably definitely like that.
I think so. How about you, Kim?
I have a WTF book and a surprising book. Thank you. Spin the wheel reading. I listened to We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson.
Oh, okay.
And when I read random books, and when I read most books, I never read the synopsis, so I really go in totally blind. I liked this book, but I think because I was kind of blind, I didn't know the genre, I didn't know, like, synopsis of it. I was always kind of feeling like, is this about to turn into a ghost story, or is this supposed to be, like, really happening, and kind of had these like, is this girl a ghost? Is she suddenly going to be something that only a few people can see? And like, I kept having this feeling like there was more to the story than what was there, because it was just creepy in a lot of ways. But the other side of it is one of my other side passions is like true crime, and it is 100% brings up all these feelings around Lizzie Borden.
Ooh.
And the Lizzie Borden case. And what it might have been like to be Lizzie Borden after she was acquitted of killing her family. Because that's kind of what it's about, is like this sister who, these two sisters that live in a house together with their uncle. And they are the sole survivors of a poisoning. And the older sister, of course, gets put on trial for it because she didn't have the food that was poisoned. And they can't figure out who did it, and she ends up getting acquitted, but she's also kind of ostracized by the town. And so she hasn't been into town since she was acquitted. So she sends her younger sister, who gets, you know, pretty bullied by the town, and they're kind of not treated very well. And it just kind of has this feeling of, like, what would it be like if you were kind of considered a notorious family murderer? Kind of a weird book to read.
Well, that's interesting, because when you said who wrote it, Shirley Jackson, I was like, is that the same Shirley Jackson who wrote The Lottery?
Yes.
And so it is, yes. And so a lot of the themes that you're kind of hinting at, I definitely got from The Lottery as well. So that seemed to be a recurring.
So the other book that I found that was surprising in a more vein of, like, I was really surprised by it, was Beartown by Frederick Bachman.
Mm.
And I read this book because I read A Man Called Ove as one of my very first random reads, and I was really disappointed when I started that book, because I was like, oh, great, it's this old white guy that's like... And then it turned out to be just so introspective and cross-cultural, and it had these really deep things about it that that book surprised me. And then a lot of people are like, oh, you'll love Beartown because it's about hockey. And I, while I'm not really a hockey person, I have married into a hockey family. And so, yeah, okay. I put it off for about a year. And then I got it on audiobook. And I didn't read the synopsis because it's just a hockey book. And then it's not a hockey book. And I just found it very, one of the things I appreciated the most about it is that it has a lot of the conversations that come up in the Me Too movement about victim blaming and society's role in how we treat victims and how we treat accusers, or how we call them victims versus accusers, or the accused and the language that we use. And it's one of the few times that I really respected that it was coming from a male author's point of view, and a male author that has a very large platform right now to be putting out so many different messages and putting out so many different examples of how this locker room language, is it toxic? Is it not toxic? Why is it toxic for certain kids and not others? And protecting kids and protecting children, and whether or not it's something that you could even do, or how can you do it, or how do you be a supportive parent or friend, or all those different things. I just really appreciated it in the end, but it definitely surprised me, because halfway through, like 50% of the book, I'm just still thinking, oh, this is a nice hockey story, and they're gonna cross these little boundaries between all these different personalities on the team, and they're gonna win the big game, and it's gonna be a great moment for this town, and I'm going to put it down and go like, oh, that was heartwarming. Now I really want something with a lot of murder and action in it. And then I got something completely different. So that was a good surprise.
And now, is that a series?
Yeah, there's a second one. So those are our surprising books. What about a second book in a series? Second or third book, not the first book, but is there a series that you've continued that you found to be just predictably good?
Can it be the last book in the series?
It can be the last book in the series, but just not the start of a series.
Okay.
It seems like everything I've read this year is the beginning of a series.
Except for, you know, Bloodwitch.
Right.
This is your prompt to talk about Bloodwitch. But you could go back a couple months into 2018 if you need to.
I never put my stuff on, like, my bullet journal, so I have to, you know, scroll Goodreads.
Well, I read Kingdom of Ash, which is the Throne of Glass series finale, which is also, like, 1,000 pages long.
Oh my god, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And so, yeah, I definitely did that one on my Kindle, because I was like, I'm not going to be able to carry this, you know, tome around. But I actually really enjoyed it. I thought that as far as finales go, I've been pretty disappointed with a lot of them that come out, just because they're very underwhelming, where I don't feel like the characters, this sounds horrible, but I don't think they suffer enough.
I think sometimes they suffer from too much fan service.
Yeah.
Like they know that there's like these hardcore readers that really want something to happen, and I feel almost like they kind of contrive some situations where they know that a decent portion of their fans are going to be thrilled with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of it's just like a few of the series that have dared to kill their darlings at the end, or where it doesn't work out, have kind of gotten the backlash. But I almost feel like from a long-term perspective of like the looking back at the series, the ones that kill you in the end, you remember more fondly than the ones where you kind of go like, oh, okay, it all worked out.
Right. Yeah, I definitely bawled in that book, like at a certain point, which is like now infamous for fans, but it was like, it was what needed to be done. You know what I mean? And I think like a different series that I read, and I want to say the author is, I don't remember. It's like, Kiss of Deception and,
oh, I've heard of those.
Yes. The last book was really, I just really didn't like it. And I feel like even from a writing standpoint, the main character is typically the one who has to, you know, do that action. Well, I mean, just be the active person at the end of the book. And that just didn't happen. And I was like, why? Like, why save them from that? Was it really necessary to have all this build up and then it not be as climactic as it should have been? So I thought Kingdom of Ash did that really well. And I really liked it. So
I looked back at my Goodreads while you were talking, and the last book that was continuing or ending a series that I read was also Kingdom of Ash. And I agree. I was surprised at some of the things that she did.
Mm-hmm.
I was not surprised. I don't know how, I don't want to get too spoilery.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Right. There were certain things that I was like, whoa, I can't believe you went there. But then there were other things that I was like, okay, well, thinking back to things that she said in interviews, even like way early on in her career, how she commented about how authors decide whether or not characters need to be killed off or not, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, so thinking about what she said in interviews, I was really not sure if, you know, Aelin was going to make it or not.
Right, right.
To be honest. So I was surprised, but I wasn't disappointed.
Right.
So, yeah, like, it was good. I cried a lot. it was just long.
Yes.
Maybe it's because my time is a lot more limited now.
Mm-hmm.
That long books are more intimidating to me, because like, they used to be like a book like that, it would take me maybe 3 days to read it if I had to work. If I didn't have to work, then I would literally just like, I don't need to eat or sleep until I finish, you know? but I felt like it was really difficult to read mm-hmm. at some points, and it should have been split up.
I agree. I was like, why would you want to, I mean, put out a 1,000-page book? That seems insane.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah, that was probably my only complaint about it, really. And I mean, I had other things, but like I said, I don't want to get too spoilery.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, I do think some of her decisions about characters in this book, though, were informed by fan.
Mm-hmm.
A fan service. Yeah, like fan opinion.
Yeah.
I think so. So, but it was decent and a good end.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But then I realized I have now started 7 different series since then.
Oh my gosh.
I can't even count how many series I've started in like the last year. It's just too many.
Yeah, that's because of the way publishing works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's like everything's published once a year, so even if you find a book that you're like, oh, I like this book, oh, it has to be part of a trilogy, so I'm going to have to wait 3 years.
I have to say, like, because I didn't read much for 10 years, I get super excited when I find out that I've read a book for a completed series.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, I get
so excited because I've read, like, when you're first jumping back into reading, you want to, like, finish the story, right? Because you feel like you need to have some conclusion to kind of solidify, like, the satisfaction of taking time away from other activities and putting them towards reading. And so I struggled a lot with the book one.
Mm.
And I started getting really fatigued, and then I found a whole bunch of series that I didn't know about, and I found these completed series, and I was able to keep the momentum going, and now I'm a little bit better with book one because I've had some satisfaction of concluding series.
But you know what, I know for me, I had the same exact struggle because I was always a reader in like middle school and high school, and then during college, like undergrad and grad, I was an English major, so I was reading, but it wasn't mm-hmm. necessarily like for pleasure, it was like whatever I had to read for school. So then when I graduated, I was teaching, and as a new teacher, you don't really have a life of like any form. At least I didn't. I probably worked too hard in retrospect, but, yeah, like, and then I had a baby and I felt like I was going crazy those first 6 months. And my husband was like, well, when's the last time you sat and read something like just to read? And I realized it had been years that I just sat and read a book.
I read a whole series when I was on maternity leave, and that's probably where I really kind of started kickstarting the reading habit, if I look back on it, because that's when it started kind of like building momentum. But I started with a completed series, and so I had like ready made these like 3 books, boom boom boom, and it was like easy to go, and then it took me a little while to get some real momentum into it.
Yeah, that's how I was. Is that how you were, Leslie?
Yeah, I know that, like, when I was pregnant with my first, I actually would go to the library and just, like, read 3 books a week and just binge read. Obviously, that changes after you have more than one. But so my speed, like, I still can read very quickly. I just don't get through as many as I want to now. Which is why my TBR list seems I don't even know what the word is, impossible, I guess.
Let's look at the numbers on our TV because, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't really look at it as, like, the impossible task. Like, I try to turn it into a more positive that I've identified over 1,000 opportunities.
Yes.
That's a very good way.
If I don't think of them as opportunities, and I could see where it would really get depressed, but I just look at it as, like, well, I've narrowed it down to books that have been recommended to me or that have shown up in the, if you like this, then you might like this category. And that it's easier.
Yeah, I just finished my master's degree in December, so reading, I mean, while I was doing it in creative writing, I got to read some, you know, fiction, but it wasn't ever my choice, so it was still, I was still reading things that were somewhat interesting, but it did put a huge damper on reading for pleasure, and now I'm just like, where do I even start?
I got options for it. Yeah,
we got.
I need that wheel. I do need a wheel. I'll just start putting titles on there and just like spin it around.
Yeah, no, I literally go into my OverDrive app and then I spin the list of categories and then put my finger down and then I pick whatever's first available in that category.
Oh, gosh, that's a good idea. I know.
Because the chance of like, there's only like 3 lines for romance, and that's the one genre that I really don't like. I feel pretty solid doing this spin the wheel.
On audiobook, I've read, I wouldn't say that they're true romance, but they're urban fantasy books, the Kate Daniels series, and I highly recommend it, but you don't get into any, like, romantic times until, I'd say, the 3rd or 4th book, probably.
Still too soon. Way too soon.
But, right.
They don't know each other yet.
Right. Yeah. Maybe it's the 5th book. It was like, it was long enough, but I was still like, okay, this is a little awkward to listen to on audio. So,
I had that today. I just finished The Clockwork Prince.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and I was listening to it today, and it got a bit steamy. And I was like, wait a second. Like, my boss is sitting right there. My coworkers are over there. But I would say that that is my, because that's a book too.
Mm-hmm.
My predictably good read.
Ooh, okay.
As a sequel, like, it was very satisfying. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is about this series. I tried to read, I don't forget the name of her other series, it's like the more modern day,
yeah, the City of
Shadow
Bones, Shadow, like, yeah,
sure,
yeah, City, yeah, of Bones or whatever. I tried reading that, and I think I read it too close to when I accidentally saw the horrible movie.
Oh no.
Don't watch the TV show either. Just say.
I watched some episodes of the TV show, and I was more forgiving of that because, you know, it's the CW.
Right, right.
But,
well, that's true.
Whatever they call themselves now. This book series really kind of worked well for me, and they're kind of all available on audiobook, which works well for me, too.
Yeah, I actually prefer that series because I've read them all, and I prefer The Infernal Devices over the other ones. So
I have to say it's been a long time since I've actually seen a love triangle where I was like, I don't know who she picks, but I'm both upset and happy.
Right. Well, you're in for a treat, so.
I have a confession. I have never read any Cassandra Clare.
They are good. I don't know why I had a bias against it. It's because of that movie. It's 100% because of that movie that I had so many opportunities to read books by her. And people gave me copies and pirated ebooks and all sorts of things. I just couldn't do it. And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, it's too cringy and too, I just can't do it. And then it was a random selection. Thank you, OverDrive, that brought me to The Clockwork Angel. And I said, well, it's only 12-hour audiobook. I can get through it in 6 hours if I put it on double time. And that's like half of my week, and I've certainly listened to worse books. I'm certain of it. And so I just kind of hit the play button and kind of like cringed my way through it, and then suddenly found myself going, but what next? Oh no, I don't want to stop here. So I think it's definitely worth a read. I would probably suggest starting with The Clockwork Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I do think from an opening standpoint, especially if you've been tainted by the movie, if this is a better introduction. Like, I think now I could go back to City of Bones and kind of cringe my way through it, just kind of knowing, like, well, the quality will come. We're going to get there. She's building up the story and the characters, and we're going to get there just because I do think she's a very solid writer.
Right. I agree. I don't know. I got to a certain point, though, because it's like the first three books, and then there's another trilogy with the same characters just later on. I definitely thought the original trilogy was more effective, but again, I prefer the Clockwork or the Infernal Devices over that one, so I would start with the Infernal Devices too.
Okay, you guys have convinced me. I'll up it and see if it's available on Overdrive. Yeah, well, my friends and I always used to joke, never judge a book by its movie. Because it's so true.
Yeah, definitely.
So true.
I don't know. I think one of the biggest flubs, and kind of off topic, but still about books, one of the biggest flubs, and even Hollywood agreed, was Aragorn. That poor book just had a really bad treatment.
Oh, is that the dragon one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw the movie, but I read the book. I really loved that book.
Yeah.
I saw the series.
Mm-hmm. I read the series, and yeah, the movie. I don't know. I also feel like Percy Jackson is, you know, up there.
Oh, I bought that for my son, and he pulls it off the bookshelf, and he likes to look at the cover, but he's too young for it.
Yeah.
So it sits on the shelf teasing me, because really I bought it for me, but I bought it for my son for Christmas, along with a whole bunch of Roald Dahl books that we're reading. And I can't wait until he's like, maybe 5, I think he might be able to cruise through that with me. I haven't read it yet, and I'm really itching to do it, but I'm like, I really want to read it with him, because so far we've only read books that I've read before.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, it'd be nice to like pick a series that is kind of the younger middle grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, he starts off, I want to say, like, what, 12? 12 years old?
I believe he's 11 or 12.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And, I mean, side note, you have so many options with Percy Jackson because it's in graphic novel form. and the audiobooks is how I read like 90% of Rick Riordan's stuff. And they are fast audiobooks, really fast. So, because you're listening at 2x speed and they're only like 8 hours to begin with, 7 or 8 hours
wow.
to begin with. Yeah, they're surprisingly like a lot shorter than I thought. I think it's also because it's just a very, you know, simplistic like type of style.
Right, right.
But oh my God, like you can easily kind of preview them, you know, if you wanted to. They're so good. They're so fun and cheap.
They are. And his style is just so entertaining.
Yes, exactly. Like, Poseidon is basically, like, a fisherman. A guy who likes wearing flip-flops and floral Hawaiian shirts and big hats. It's like, how can you not love a series that does that to the gods?
Exactly.
What are you reading right now?
Okay, so I just finished a book, so I'm going to have to play the spin the wheel game tomorrow. Oh no, I don't, because tomorrow Blood Witch comes out. So, oh no,
you can read it slower.
I'm not reading Blood Witch till Friday. Never mind. Okay, I have to find something to read. So today I just finished One of Us Is Lying by Karen McManus, and that is a standalone book, and it's a YA like thriller mystery whodunit, and it is fantastic. It's an entertaining story. It's told from multiple points of view, so it's fantastic on audio because each chapter is a different narrator depending on the character. She makes really interesting commentaries on social media and how it impacts the school experience, as well as news media and how that goes hand in hand with social media sometimes. I really liked that book, and it had a couple twists in it that I really did not see coming. I'm working on my review for it, for the blog, actually, and it's, like, it literally had me out loud going, oh my god, what just happened? And I had to, like, stop and rewind it to hear to make sure I heard it right. But that's what I just finished.
So as far as what I'm reading, I am about 50% through the same author. So the same author who wrote The Darkwood, Sydney Mann, I'm reading her second book. It's not, so The Darkwood is not a series, it's just a standalone. But the book that I'm reading, Shield of Shadows, is the first book in her series that she's currently working on right now. So it's another, you know, YA fantasy, but it's very different from the first one. There's all kinds of stuff going on, elves and gypsies, and it's really interesting. It is interesting because I haven't really started a series in a long time, just to see, you know, how much bulk there is to introduce when you know that you're going to have this big world and big story. It's interesting to get through because I'm so used to just being immersed in a world already that starting a new one over and waiting for the next couple books it's a different experience.
I have two books. I almost always have two books because there's an audiobook and there's usually like a physical book. And then sometimes I have three because sometimes it'll be an audiobook and a physical book and an ebook, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, spread the love around. So for one of my book clubs, we're reading Solace by Gail Crawford, which when I was looking for like steampunk recommendations was one of the books that kept coming up. And I keep describing it as Victorian Buffy. Ooh. So one thing about it that's really interesting is the length of the chapters. So I just finished chapter 3 and I'm 25% of the way through.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And so it makes it to be a difficult read when you have like a fast paced life where you have to like pick it up and put it down and pick it up and put it down. So I'm really glad I have an ebook from the library because it saves my spot a little bit better than if I had a physical book. Because I mean, whose kid doesn't pick up their book and throw their bookmarks everywhere? So, but it's been really difficult to keep myself motivated, even though it's really interesting because the whole premise is that you're in Victorian England. The werewolves and the vampires and other supernatural creatures are out and known about, and that there's agreements and kind of accords put in place between them and humans. And there's kind of this societal structure about whether or not they're accepted or not accepted. And then there seems to be this limitation on how many people they can turn based off of whether or not there's enough soul in the body to be able to do it. And then you have this main character who is actually soulless. She has no soul, and they call her a preternatural. And if she touches a vampire or a werewolf or a supernatural creature, all of their supernatural abilities disappear. And she's like a sassy spinster. She never wants to get married, and her family's like all about high society, but she's got like a mixed parentage, and so she's not really thought of well in her family, which is kind of brutal, but everything's taken with kind of this tongue-in-cheek thing where she's dismissing people because of the color of their coat and all sorts of stuff. It's just a fun read, but I do feel like whoever allowed these like 50 or 60 page chapters, I can't even ever recommend that person for a job ever again. Like that, it just has to be a crime against readers to have that long of a chapter.
That would be so difficult because, like, unless they have really good breaks within the chapter.
Mm-hmm. There are good breaks, but you can't tell because of the ebook formatting. There's no, like, big spaces. They just flow, like, one paragraph into the next paragraph, and all of a sudden you've jumped scenes and you've kind of missed your ability to see that a break is coming up, so you just kind of have to stop where you stop. Yeah. And then you'll find out, oh, if I, you know, flipped one more page, I would have been at a natural break.
Right.
And it's just kind of, it's frustrating. So the formatting of the book in ebook format is very frustrating, but it's a fun book. And then I just started The Immortalists by Chloe Benjamin.
Yeah.
Have you read this?
No, I heard of it, though. It's really, like, I haven't gotten it yet.
I'm only, like, a little bit into it. It was just my commute home. And I can't tell what the format's going to be because, again, why would I ever look up a synopsis? but there seems to be, I think it's four children in the family, maybe five, a family of four or five kids. And they're somewhat adults, so that it's adults in college and just outside of high school, and then the youngest son is still in high school. And when their father dies, like, the first perspective you take is the youngest kid. And I have a feeling you're going to go through the everybody in the family, because it started the first chapter saying, you know, Simon. And I'm like, okay, we're going to get Simon's perspective. So I'm kind of expecting to get everybody's point of view, but right now we're in Simon's story, and it's already LGBT rep in there. And I haven't done any reading, and I don't know anything about whether or not this ends up being good LGBT rep or not. It's definitely interesting, and it's kind of set in the early 70s, and we're currently in San Francisco. So it's kind of giving you that early 70s San Francisco, where he's taking dancing lessons and really living his true life. So it's kind of interesting in that perspective, but I imagine we're going to eventually get to all of the kids. Not sure if I enjoy it yet, but it's interesting.
Okay, so what do you think is up next? Are you going to keep reading what you're currently reading, or is there something that you're going to target?
Next on my TBR pile is Nemesis by Brandon Reeks, and then Ladies' Guide to Piracy and Petticoats.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm going to read A Darker Shade of Magic, if that's...
Oh, good job. Oh. So good.
I have not even started, so... It's been on there for a while.
Nice. Okay, well, for me, I might have to do the roulette wheel because I need an audiobook. So probably once we are done recording, I'm going to go on overdrive and see what's available.
I strongly suggest every once in a while that you pick one of these crime serials.
Like a podcast?
No. James Patterson has like a crime series. Oh, yeah. And like, because you can jump in anywhere in the series. I don't care if it's book 15 or book 8 or book 2. They're like meant to be consumed as a standalone. So don't shy away from them. I've read quite a few in this random rotation, and every single one has been good.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's what I'll do then. Because I did enjoy my One of Us is Lying, and it was like you said, it was a good standalone, and I was like, all right, cool, I'm good, but I finished it too early, so I still have 3 days before I'm picking up Bloodwitch. So I'm kind of like, okay, well, you know,
go whatever. Get like David Belladucci or like a James Patterson
or Janet Ivanovich.
Ian Rankin writes some really good Scottish fiction. Ooh. Or Joe's Nesbo writes Swedish crime, kind of like the Millennium Trilogy, but maybe not quite as gritty.
Okay. All right.
And they're all really good standalone. They only last like 10 hours of listening. Easy peasy. You don't feel like you have to continue them.
Okay.
You're not committing to anything.
Okay. I can do that. That sounds good.
That's my go-to now when I don't feel like I want to commit to a new series.
You need something as filler, basically.
Yeah, I need something for till my hold comes through or whatever.
Okay, I like this strategy, so I'm gonna go with that. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm gonna read. In the meantime, until our next podcast, I am going to hopefully keep dreaming. I will definitely keep reading, and then I'm gonna read.